In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. In the second gospel reading, we heard the words, "Take heed, therefore, how ye hear, for whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have." If we were to put the first part of that into more colloquial English, we would say, "Listen up." That's what "take heed" means. Be careful, pay attention. And when you run across stuff like that in Scripture, it's probably a good idea to pay a special attention to what follows that. So he's saying, pay attention how you hear. For whosoever has, to him will be given. So in other words, if you've got something, you've been listening, you've got something spiritually going because you've been listening, then you're going to be given more. And whosoever hath not, if you don't have anything because you're not listening, from you is going to be taken even that which you seem to have. So we all seem to have things, but we don't all actually have things. But what we need to do is we need to try to grow spiritually to where we actually do have things and not just appear to have things. These words come right after the parable of the sower in the Gospel of Luke. And so if you are familiar with the parable of the sower, it talks about the four kinds of soils. I've heard some Calvinists that try to say that this is a proof positive of God's eternal decrees and how people are going to either be saved or not be saved based on those decrees and not by anything they can do, because hard ground can't change itself into good ground and thorny ground can't change itself into good ground. But obviously any analogy only is meant to go to a certain point, and you can press any analogy so far that it winds up breaking down. But the fact that Christ says this right after that parable is evidence that he's saying we have control over what kind of soil we're going to be or how we're listening. So we decide what kind of hearers we're going to be. I think all of us, if we were asked, would say that we want to be the kind of hearers that are going to be given more rather than the kind of hearers that seem to have something, and even that's going to be taken away from them. So the question we ought to ask is what do we need to do to be that kind of a hearer that's going to get more and not have stuff taken away? Number one, we need to prepare ourselves to hear. If you're a pious Orthodox Christian and you prepare for communion, you know that you're supposed to fast, keep the fast during the week, not additional fast, but keep the fast during the week. You should be praying. You should certainly do the pre-communion prayers. You fast from midnight the night before. And so you should take taking communion very seriously. Well, we should also prepare to hear the Word of God and prepare for the liturgy. And so it's good for you to read the gospel readings and the epistle readings that you're going to be hearing on Sunday at some point prior to you showing up for church. It's also good to read the lives of the saints for the day so that you're familiar with that, so that when you're listening to the services and you hear about their lives, you understand what they're saying because you're already familiar with the story. As a matter of fact, if you pay attention to the sign that we have on the door, you'll know that our archbishop has a rule. And he says, and this applies to adults, not to small children, because small children don't have any choice about whether their parents are late for the liturgy or not. But what the archbishop rule is that if you are not here in time to hear the gospel reading, that you may not receive communion. And that's not just an arbitrary cutoff point, because what he explained to me about it is you need to have the illumination of the gospel to be able to receive communion properly. And I didn't ask him where he got that, but usually when I do ask him questions like that, well, that's what St. John taught me when I was his Hellenic. So a lot of the stuff is coming straight from the mouth of a saint. We also obviously have to show up. We have to be here at church, but when we're reading the scriptures during the week, we have to do it. We can't just think about doing it, have the good intention to do it, but then not actually do it. And then we have to pay attention to what it is that we hear. We can't just go through the motions. We can't stand in the liturgy and have our mind wandering all the time. And of course, we're all struggle with this, but we need to keep drawing our mind back to what it is that we're hearing, and especially for the scripture reading, so that we can really listen to what they have to say. But we also have to listen in such a way that we realize we're trying to apply these scriptures primarily to ourselves and not how do we apply these to everybody else. We apply them to ourselves first, and then maybe that has some application to other people too. And then we have to put what we hear into practice. We have to be doers of the word, and that's what the rest of the second gospel reading is talking about. It says, then came to him his mother and his brethren, who could not come at him for the press, and it was told him by certain which said, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to see thee. And he answered and said unto them, my mother and my brethren are these which hear the word of God and do it. And we hear a very similar thing from Christ in the Feast of the Mother of God. And the reason why we always hear that reading on the Feast of the Mother of God is because the Mother of God is honorable not just because she gave birth to Christ, although that's certainly up there in the list of reasons to honor her, but also because she was a hearer of the word and she did it. She lived out the life. So those two things together are why she's given such special honor in the church. And then when it says, whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have, we need to not despair when we hear these words, because I think a lot of us, when we hear things like that, admonishments in Scripture that talk about if you don't watch out, you could lose your salvation, a lot of us are inclined to think, oh man, I've already blown it. Well, that's not the point. That's not the reason why these warnings are there in Scripture, because if you'd already blown it and you were beyond the possibility of salvation, you wouldn't care. So if you still care, if you're still fearful when you hear these words and you're thinking, I want to be saved, you're not beyond the point of redemption. You're not a reprobate. God's calling you, and he's trying to bring you closer to him. And so don't take that in the negative way. But the point that's being made here is if you don't use it, you're going to lose it. And it's just like if you sat on your couch all day and you were eating pizza and drinking beer and you never got off your couch, your ability to get off that couch and start exercising will decline from one day to the next, because you're not going to be in better shape as days go by when you do that kind of stuff. And it's the same thing spiritually. If we're lazy spiritually, we're not becoming better able to hear the word of God and to do it. That doesn't mean we can't turn things around, but we're not helping ourselves when we're being lazy like that. We need to get up off the couch spiritually and get out there and try to put these things into action, to exercise the things that we hear. Christ says in the Gospel of John, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. So when it says he purgeth it, that means that he's pruning that vine, because even though we're bearing good fruit, a good vine dresser is going to want to make that vine even more fruitful. So if he sees something on that vine that's not really going to add anything to that vine, he's going to prune it off so that the energy of that vine is all going into bearing fruit and not towards things that don't add anything to that ultimate purpose. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. We need to keep that in mind, and when we keep falling on our face and we're not succeeding in the spiritual life, we need to turn to God and say, I can't do anything without you, God. I need your help. I need your strength. Without you, I can do nothing. But elsewhere in the Scriptures, we're told, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So those are two truths that are opposite in a certain sense, but they're both true at the same time. Without him, we can do nothing, but with him, we can do everything that we need to do. Don't despair. Look to him and allow him to purge those things from your life that are keeping you from bearing fruit, and let him enable you to be a fruitful vine that will abide with him for all eternity. Amen.